Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school. So you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby. Baby. Yeah.
Welcome to the Nerdcast, episode 138. Adam, Tyler, and myself, Iggy. And we're trying not to laugh because as soon as I hit record, I had to have a coughing fit, of course.
Well, you went through all the trouble of muting us and then hit record and then immediately make a loud noise into the microphone.
It's true. We saw it happen. It was bad.
There is video evidence. There is video evidence. Anyways, I just did another one, but I was on mute this time. I'll clear my throat here. Hopefully not too many coughing fits. But it is episode 138, and it's an exciting episode because as we led in last week to close 137, we talked about some big things happening. One of those, I'm going to jump straight into it, total solar eclipse of the heart, guys. So eclipse happened on Monday this past week, roughly around lunchtime, depending, you know, where you are. So various in between like about 11:30 to what about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on where you are. Totality from coast to coast, which was the first time in a very, very long time that's happened. And we do get another one in 7 years, but we don't get totality from coast to coast. Unfortunately, for me, it works because the 2024 one goes through Dallas, so I can go home and just stay with family and see it. It goes through Arkansas, too.
It goes like right through where I am in Arkansas. So you can come see me. I may not be here in 7 years, but if I am, you can come see me.
Okay. I might do that. I might do that.
To our listeners too.
Sweet. So anyways, the 2017 eclipse, you guys checked it out. I know you guys did. What'd you think? Have some fun. Tyler had a couple of awesome photos, even with the overcast going.
Yeah, it came right through here in Kansas City. There was a ton of people in town from all over the country, but it was pretty cool. It was the slowest I've ever been at work ever, which was kind of nice for a hot second. So,
yeah, no, I ran into a little bit of an issue on my end. The glasses that the school that I'm at, where my wife works, were no good. And so they had to get new ones. And so it was a scramble to get some, and I didn't get any of the new glasses. So I was kind of dependent upon other people, but there were a lot of trees in our area. And so I got to see a lot of cool pinhole shadows through the trees. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I got a couple good shots of some of the shadows too. We had I was at work, so everybody was sharing the glasses, so I was kind of a bum, bumming everybody's glasses to check it out. I went for a walk afterwards with a friend, and we were walking through this path. There's this path behind my office, and it's pretty cool. Like, part of it's even on land where there's, like, cattle and stuff, so you, like, walk past all these cows and stuff. But there was tons of people. Like, you talk about, Tyler, just people were turning out everywhere. They were just all on this trail, like, bike riding or eating lunch and doing stuff to check it out. And every person we walked past, they're like, did you guys see it? You want to check out our glasses and check it out? We're like, sure, let's see it again. Let's check. So we were watching it as it was like going back, you know, as it was finishing up. And it was pretty awesome. It was cool. I didn't realize, I mean, I don't remember when it was. There was an eclipse. What year was it, of course, when we were younger? And I very strongly remember that one. And obviously not being a totality area here, it was very similar to me as that experience. But there were so many people who were like adults that have like never experienced an eclipse and didn't know what to expect. And it was really cool just listening to people talk about it and experience it for the first time. And it's just awesome with the temperature drop, how quiet it gets, how gloomy it looked. It was just like something straight out of a horror video game or movie. Like, I was waiting for somebody to come chop us all up or something. So... But it was cool. It was cool looking. I know our friends over at Sexy Nerd Science actually went to the totality area. If I remember correctly, I haven't talked to him since because we're only recording on Tuesday here, so it's only been a day. I haven't talked to them. I'll have to check with them and see if they did. They were going to send up a balloon with, I think, a GoPro to check it out. So I don't know if they did that or not. We'll have to see. If so, you can always check out their podcast. It airs on Thursday. And I'm sure they'll have something to say about it, especially on the science part. But yeah, clips, fun. We get to do it again in 7 years. Yeah, let's all go. Tyler, you ready? We'll go to Adam's place. 7 years. Go do that. Hang out in Arkansas. Check out the eclipse.
I'm on board. Let's do it.
We'll live podcast. By then we'll be at quite a few episodes by then, right? So awesome. All right. So if you saw the eclipse, you got photos you want to share, you just want to share your thoughts, anything like that, of course, you can always let us know in the comments on the website, Facebook, Podbean, wherever you listen to us. There's no comments on iTunes, but you can jump to one of the other spots, of course. And let us know what you thought. If this was your first experience, like I said, so many people, and kind of what you were thinking and expecting and how different it was. But outside of the eclipse, the other really big thing that I'm looking forward to talking to, I don't think Adam's seen it all, though, the Defenders. Did you catch up yet, Adam?
Nope, didn't catch up. Watched the first episode. Fell into a Diablo 3 hole with my wife over the weekend. Didn't do anything except play Diablo 3. So I managed to get in an episode while she was doing some yoga on Sunday. And, you know, it's all right what I saw anyway. You know, I wasn't, like, immediately blown away or nailed down. I think I'm over big collaborations. And I don't know. I think that may be a thing. I think I may have reached my point of, like, team-ups is just too much.
Well, you said you saw the first episode, and I'm going to be very frank. The first two episodes, I was about ready to get online and start questioning people because tons of people were posting already. Because I watched it mostly Saturday evening, my very fun active life on Saturday night there. I was I decided to chill kind of and watch some Defenders. But a lot of people had already seen it because they watched it, you know, Friday and stuff. And they were just praising it, like left and right. I felt like people were nothing negative to say about it, those who took it in on Friday and early Saturday, at least on my social media feeds. And I watched those first two episodes and I was just like, man, I'm bored as hell right now. I'm just not digging this. And towards the end of episode three, you finally get something moving and you get some fun. You get that hallway scene that's in the trailer, so not too big of a spoiler. Pretty cool to see some things like that. But overall, it was definitely slower paced than I expected. A lot more drama than action. And I was kind of hoping this one would be more action because we've already set up all the characters. We've already set up everything. We've set up the hand. We all that stuff. So I was hoping we'd see more action, and we really didn't. Tyler's shaking his head now.
Yeah, I mean, there's like maybe three big set pieces in the entire show, and one of them, I think, is pretty good. One of them is almost unwatchable. And then the other one is really dark. So, I don't know. The action was definitely better than, I think, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Like, you can tell they did a little bit better in the choreography, but they still do a lot of, like, crazy jump cuts. I don't still think it's the level of, like, Daredevil action. I don't know. There's a lot of good things about it, but you're right. It was kind of, it drags a little bit. It's boring. The hand is kind of a boring, like, I'm kind of over the nebulous hand as the bad guy. Their motivations are, you know, at best. But there was really fun moments in there. There's a lot of fun nods to the comic books and their characters and stuff like that. But it's not bad, but it's not, it doesn't reach the heights of, like, Daredevil and Jessica Jones, I don't think, or even close.
I'd agree with that completely. That would be my thoughts. Daredevil and Jessica Jones still superior over all the other series. I like Luke Cage. Iron Fist was a struggle. But Luke Cage, we had expectations for it to be different. We didn't expect it to be an action-packed. Like, it had that different style. We knew a different style going in. So I think we were ready for it to be different. Defenders, like I said, I was really expecting, especially they sold it in the trailers. They sell it in the trailers that you're getting some action. And they did, and they show you, I mean, everybody knows a hallway scene's coming now in a Netflix Marvel show, but they still show it to you. and in the trailer, excuse me, at least, you know, a little part of it, they give you a little hit of it, but I was like, could have saved that for a surprise. I don't know. So Adam, you still got to get through it. It's definitely something to watch.
Yeah. And I probably will. I honestly have to finish Iron Fist. I haven't done that yet. And so, you know, like the first episode kicks off with your boy Iron Fist and Connie doing work, or trying to do work, actually failing pretty epically. So, I mean, you're like, all right, well, crap. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on here, because I didn't make it to the end of the Iron Fist. So, like, and I think that's where I'm at in terms of all of the, like, mashups, especially when it comes to TV shows. I don't necessarily want to have to be up to date on, I mean, what you need to watch 50 hours of TV to fully understand what's going on in the Defenders. And I have for the most part, so I don't, you know, it's not a huge complaint, but I feel like, I don't know. I just think, I think I've reached my kind of limit with the superhero mashups. And, you know, I think I've started feeling that way with Civil War probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get away with not seeing some of the series. I feel like you definitely need to see the Daredevil series, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this one, you could have totally skipped Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. And while you wouldn't know much about, like, their side characters or their relationship, you wouldn't need much. But, like, the plot of this one almost hinges entirely on things that happened in Daredevil and Iron Fist. Like, you don't necessarily need to have seen Iron Fist, but you need to at least know what Iron Fist was about and how it ended. Or big chunks of the plot don't make a ton of sense. Like, can we really, like, the entire plot of the bad guys doesn't make a lot of sense without knowing how Iron Fist ends.
Yeah. But can we talk about Finn Jones? Like, I mean, he looks the part for Iron Fist, but I'm not digging him as Danny Rand. I'm just not. And I know Danny Rand he's a little bit more of the I'll do what I want. Like, I'm going to whine a little bit. I'm going to tell people I'm the immortal Iron Fist. And they're putting that into the series well. But I really like the Iron Fist with Luke Cage. Like, when Power Man and Iron Fist are together in the comics, and they even have a long series running called Power Man and Iron Fist, or when they're the Heroes for Hire, and when they're part of that stuff, their banter is fantastic. And Iron Fist holds it just as strong as Luke Cage does. I don't feel like Finn Jones does that. Doesn't do it justice in the television series.
Well, I mean, that's been part of my problem with the TV show, is I have no sympathy for Danny Rand. Like, he shows up and starts, you know, trying to get back into his family's office, and, you know, he hasn't tried to find out any information about him. He just rolls up to the building like, hey, everything's going to be okay. People I know are going to be working there totally still after I've been gone for 15 years or however, 17 years or whatever the time frame is there. And it, you know, it's not the case, and he's not, like, apologetic or anything like that. He's immediately defensive, and I have no connection to him, I guess, as I'm watching the show. And that makes it tough, because it's all centered around him. And so if you can't connect to him or his story, and you don't, you know, I haven't seen as much from the side characters as I've seen in, you know, there's no Foggy in, what's her name from Daredevil. There's no Claire, the nurse from all of the series. You get her a little bit from what I've seen so far, but, like, I don't know. There's no one that's really dragging me into it.
You get all the people you listed are in the show.
Yeah, they're all in there. But you're right. The Defenders does have a big focus on Iron Fist as well. So, I mean, it's a huge focus.
And here's the thing: like, I was kind of down on Finn Jones in the Iron Fist, the original. But the more that's come out about the production of it, I don't so much think it's him. It's any so far, like, after, and, like, not that any of them were, like, achievements in writing, but I think it was, they were paced better, so you ignored it a little bit. They're not very well written. Like, the dialogue is clunky at best. Like, I don't know how much of Danny Rand being annoying in these shows is Finn Jones and how much of it is he's just written really poorly. Like, he's just written as this, like, smug, you know, like, clueless kid who wants to tell everyone about how he's the Iron Fist. Like, I don't know how much of it is on him and how much of it is on... They're not very well-written shows.
Oh, yeah. And if it sounded like I was ragging on Finn Jones, that was not my intention. I think he's probably fine. I don't like his character. And I, you know, in terms of the production stuff, I think it really hurts his fight scenes. And I think that is a huge detriment to the show because, you know, he's the martial artist trained from, you know, very young age to be the Immortal Iron Fist. Like, he's the one who needs to have the best fight scenes, and he just doesn't. Like, it's not even close. And say what you will about Luke Cage's fight scenes. Like, oh, he just stands there and punches things. But, like, yeah, that's his character. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Finn Jones also seems like he's just standing there and punching things. And that doesn't seem like what Danny Rand would be doing. And I don't, and I'm, you know, having talked with you about it, Tyler, I'm thinking it's more about the production times and values that they had as opposed to ability on Finn Jones's part.
You went from unmute to mute.
Well, and you also can't put him in a mask. I was more going against Iggy. Iggy was the one who started off with being like,
Jones. I'm just not buying it. And you guys make great points on the production side of things too. But when you look at Mike Coulter as Luke Cage and Charlie Cox as Daredevil, and then let's just give the gold to Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. Like, I mean, completely fantastic as Jessica Jones. And even in The Defenders, like, she's just phenomenal as this character. I say all around it, from the character development to the way they're writing him to the acting, I think everything about it. I just don't think our Danny Rand, you know, the Immortal Iron Fist is getting due justice like the other three are. And then, like I said, leads me into the next point. Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, phenomenal again. It just makes me so eager for season two of Jessica Jones. She was fantastic. She had a few moments where she's just got some quirky one-liners. I feel like when you talk about Luke Cage and Iron Fist are supposed to have this banter that carries over from the comics, I feel like you had more just quirky one-liners and great comments from Jessica Jones as opposed to the other characters.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's every character had their moments in this one. And like I said, it's not bad, but I feel like it could have been a lot better, starting with it being written a little bit better and paced a little bit better. But pacing has been the problem with every Marvel TV show from the beginning. Like, they have uneven pacing, or I don't know. Like, they just, almost every problem with every one of Marvel's TV shows to date can chalk up to pacing first and other things second.
Well, let me pose this for you guys then. Are they victims of their own success there with that original Daredevil? Like, I remember leading into that, we were all, I want to say, fairly cautious, maybe cautiously optimistic even about it. Like, this could be, you know, this will be interesting. Hopefully they'll bring, you know, do justice to the Daredevil character that they murdered with Ben Affleck. You know, like, we were excited about the possibilities of what they've been able to do, especially since their movies have been quite good. And then that first one came out and it was like almost like a powder keg. Like, everybody went crazy about that. Not just like all of my comic book friends, but like any of my slightly nerdy friends are all about it. You know, I think my parents watched it. Like, I mean, it's crazy. You know, everybody that tuned in kind of watched that. Did they kind of set a bar that was very high? And now when they do, you know, good, everybody's like, yeah, that's not good.
I would say so. I would say the bar was definitely set very high. And then you're followed up with Jessica Jones, which I think we've all talked about it. I mean, it's as equally good as what they were doing in its own different style.
I think it's better than Daredevil even.
Yeah. It's my favorite of the ones so far. And, but even people who praise, you know, Daredevil and say it's their favorite one, they still sing praises to Jessica Jones, where exactly then it's like you have these expectations rolling into Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And again, Luke Cage works because of how different it is and what they were trying to do with it. They were trying to make it work for that character, you know, for the Harlem thing and everything like that. And so I think it works, but it still wasn't as entertaining to me as the first two. And I don't know. Defenders good. And Tyler's made the comment a few times. It was good. We're talking a lot about our complaints with it, but it's still like, I'm not upset that I spent 8 hours between Friday night and Saturday watching. Yes, I spent 8 hours of television watching. I haven't done that in a long time, but you know, it was fun. But only to an extent. And there was, like I said, I wanted more action. Like you said, we had 50 plus hours of TV already. We should have these characters introduced. We shouldn't have to go through three episodes of them not even interacting with each other yet, because we're still learning about them till they finally get together. They should have been together in the first episode, especially on an 8-episode series. So, and one last thing on my part about it. Can we already please just make Trish Walker Hellcat? Like, let's just get Hellcat in there. Let's just do it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen or when, but
I thought in Jessica Jones, when she takes the pills and she like starts kicking some ass, I'm like, we're getting out, but then nothing.
Yeah. You do have to watch it at some point so that we can talk a little bit about the last couple episodes, because I could talk a lot more about those, but
yeah, quite a bit develops.
I will say, like, as I was watching it, I was intrigued. Like, I mean, I watched all 8 episodes immediately in a row on Friday night, like nonstop, and I couldn't stop watching it. But as I've gotten more distance from it and have gone back and watched scenes and stuff like that, I've soured on it a little bit. But yeah, I think it's worth the watch.
Also dropping on Netflix this weekend, which I've talked about, I think I messaged you guys about it, but Adam and I were talking about it beforehand, is the their original sci-fi film, What Happened to Monday? And it's pretty awesome. I checked that out Sunday morning, and there were some twists and turns in it and everything like that, but really cool concept. So it's a dystopian future. Overpopulations happen. Crops, of course, you know, food's like going, by the way, like we've destroyed the land, so all that's not working. So with overpopulation already happening, they create new formulas to make these super crops. And the side effects are, is it's causing everybody to have multiple birth pregnancies. So multiple children pregnancies, excuse me. And so now the population thing's another huge problem. So they have insert this child act that causes, if after your first child, every other child is to be cryogenically frozen until we have figured out the world's problems. And the concept is basically that this 7 identical sisters take on this one character each day of the week. And it turns into a pretty awesome sci-fi, dystopian future, action, thriller, all the adjectives here. It was a fun movie. I was really impressed with it. I was really impressed. I cut out to see if you guys want to chime in, but you guys haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah, there's not much to really say about that. Like, sounds cool. I like dystopian stuff, so, you know, if I can pry myself out of video games, I may check it out.
But you get Noomi Rapace, Glenn Close, Willem Dafoe. I mean, so you have some impressive actors in there as well. But it's fun. Check it out once you get done with The Defenders, of course. But, Netflix, I mean, they just, you know, they're always dropping stuff. So always stuff to check out with them. But let's talk a little bit about what happened off of Netflix and head to the big screen. So Adam, what did, I know Fantasy Movie League went back to Aaron. He won again this week. So, I mean, we have 1 week left. This weekend is our last weekend of the season. So Tyler, be ready for next weekend to be playing again. But he's won. It's wrapped up, and you're well in second place. You've got me by like 100,000. Yeah, I think
this weekend's just for fun. It's not. Yeah. Nothing's changing this weekend.
But it looks like The Hitman's Bodyguard took the weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it did. Actually, let me pull up the numbers. I had them, and then I don't know what happened to them. Weird things happen on my computer every now and again. So yeah, you've had The Hitman's Bodyguard with, let's see, the overall number, 21 million 21.3, I guess. Then Annabelle Creation at 15.6. Then Logan Lucky at 7 million. And then they kind of start dropping pretty quick. It was a slow weekend at the box office. There's about a $20 million difference from last weekend to this past weekend. So a pretty good drop. I mean, that's about a sixth of the overall revenue from the week before. So not a lot of people out going to see movies, I guess. But yeah, I mean, Hitman's Bodyguard did good money, especially for, what is that, a rated R movie. And, you know, they'll crush their estimated budget of about $30 million this coming weekend. So they made a ton of money. Good job on them. And, you know, I didn't hear any bad reviews for any of the new movies this weekend, specifically for Hitman's Bodyguard and Logan Lucky. There's nothing, you know, wonderful and glowing like you got from the Wonder Woman movie after a drop, but it certainly seems like both good movies to go see.
Well, Project Nerd's own Pat White, he does now a video movie review series that'll soon actually be on Project Nerd as well. And he did the Hitman's Bodyguard and had some positive things to say about it. So I saw some people posting on there, turned some people that were on the fence about it towards it. So we'll see. Not a whole lot coming out this weekend to compete with it. So it's looking like that's probably going to win for a second weekend in a row. But a lot of probably the biggest news this past week we could have touched on. It was early enough in the week that we could have touched on it last week's episode, and we didn't because it was still just a cluttered mess with how exciting it was MoviePass dropping the $10 a month MoviePass. So one movie every 24 hours, but it's many movies. So basically you can see up to 30, 31 movies a month, depending on the month, obviously not in February, but at the other months. And $10 is all it's going to cost you. And MoviePass is taking the risk. They're gonna pay a little bit of money to the theaters here up front because they think that it's gonna pay off to lead to kind of a revolution at the theaters, really, and have a lot of theaters partner with them because everybody knows theaters make their money on the concessions. So it's gonna bring more people in. AMC though, furious, like threatening legal action, everything like that. I checked it out. I'm excited. Signed up for it because the Regal Cinemas, which owns the local Cinebars, which is like we call the poor man's draft house around here, which is right next to me. They're cool with it. They're part of it, but a lot of the big chains are, so it's legit. It seems almost too good to be true, but it's legit.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, I watch a lot of movies, and you know, if I were to cut the ticket price out of going to the movies, you know, I could see twice as many. like, I mean, that's really about what it is. When the wife and I go see a movie, you know, on average, we'll spend $15 or $20 to get in and $15 or $20 on soda and popcorn. So heck, I mean, it's something to think about for sure. I mean, $20 a month for us to go, or we each have to sign up or however that works. I'm not sure, but
Yeah, you would each have to have, so it's only one membership per app per phone. So you'd each have to have the app on your phone and then you get a card sent to you. So you'd have to buy each ticket individually when you go, but that's very little trouble for now. You just mentioned it's $15 to $20 for you to go to each show. Now you're paying it just monthly $20 and now you can go to more shows. So yeah, I think that's very little trouble for that.
Well, in the theater here has the self-buy ticket kiosks. So if you're just getting the tickets and you know what you want, you just go up and I'm assuming the card would work there, no problem. And so you just, I mean, we could stand next to each other and get it taken care of instead of waiting in the line for the one ticket person that's ever there at the ticket window these days. So right. Yeah, I mean, it's something, it's interesting. And I was curious to see the continued backlash from the theaters as to what they would think about it.
Well, it's worth signing up for because right out the bat, when you sign up, you enter obviously into an agreement with them, and their part of the agreement guarantees you that the price will not go up for 12 months. So you are guaranteed 12 months. So at least at this point, it might be 11 months. I don't know if it's just through next July or if it's going to be 12 months from when, or I'm sorry, yeah, through July. So or 12 months when you sign up. So depending if you sign up in September, all that. They also say there's a limited amount of people that can sign up, but the site has been down for like over a week and crashed, and people, when they are able to get into it, are still signing up and it's still accepting people. Best way to sign up is download the app, sign up through the app, keep pushing through. You got to do it like 10 times where it just keeps telling you error until it finally says, oh, this account already exists. And then you just go log in and your account's there. And then it takes about 2 weeks for your card to show up. So here in about 2 weeks, guys, I'll be able to talk about a lot more new movies, because there's no surprise here on the podcast that I see the least amount of movies of us three. But yeah, if I had this already, if it was already 10 bucks a month, like I would have seen Dunkirk, I would have seen Valerian. I probably would have gone to Hitman's Bodyguard this past weekend. But these are movies that I don't want to spend. You know, that would have been 30 bucks right there for me that I would have spent, that I wanted to put that money elsewhere. I want to do something. So now for 10 bucks, I could have gone and seen all three of those in the past month and would have totally been worth it.
I mean, Dunkirk was worth the price of admission, Iggy. You should have gone.
Probably was.
That's all I wanted. All I got. I blanked out when you were trying to say how you still hadn't seen Dunkirk. So
I still haven't. I need to go. I'll have to go pay for it too, because it's going to take 2 weeks for my card to show up. So I don't know how long Dunkirk's going to stick around, but I will need to go check it out. So anyways, MoviePass, it's just MoviePass.com. So free promotion here, MoviePass, if you're listening. You know, we're always looking for sponsors. So we're happy to give you, we're happy to throw your name out there. We're doing it for free now. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, back us up or anything, of course, always happy for that. But continuing in the movie world, I just read this right before we started recording. You guys had seen it for the past couple hours, but Martin Scorsese, going to be your top producer on Todd Phillips of The Hangover is actually going to direct it, a standalone Joker movie, an origin story as well. And for those of you that loved him as the Joker, which are very few of you, no Jared Leto. It's going to be a new take on the Joker, hopefully more back to the comic style of Joker. But I'm pretty stoked, man. Scorsese, can't really go wrong there.
I mean, the most surprising thing in the news was that he didn't cast Leonardo DiCaprio as the lead. So, I mean, that was shocking and, you know, showed probably some good restraint from Martin there to not do that. It's interesting, you know, everybody's doing movie universes. And so to, you know, to stand out there and be like, no, we're going to do a standalone. We're going to set it in a different time. We're going to use a different actor to play the main character. You know, is Warner Brothers throw it in the towel? Are they just like, screw it, we'll go back to making one-offs and call it good? It's an interesting thing. I don't know what it means, I guess. I'm excited about it as an idea. I'll say in the abstract, I'm excited about it, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah, it's still very early, obviously, just today announced, so still very early, but I feel like the initial pieces they're laying down are right, and it's not tied to the DC Extended Universe, so there's already a lot of questions popping up with just the first few hours of what does this mean for the DCEU, what's going on, all that, and it looks like, I mean, they already talked about doing a Harley Quinn standalone movie. You know, there's a lot of standalone movies they want to do. You have a lot of characters. I mean, you have them in Marvel, too, but this brings us kind of back to the point you were making, Adam, with the TV series. Give us some more standalone stuff. I don't want to have to watch Batman and Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Suicide Squad again to understand this Joker standalone movie. I just want a Joker standalone movie.
Funny how? I mean, like, what's funny about it? That's all I can think when I heard this.
I would pay, I can't tell you how much money I would pay for a ticket if they were to work in a Joe Pesci penguin asking that exact question for like a 5 minute throwaway scene. I would, $30 for a ticket, 100%. Sure, no problem. Sign me up right now today if they can get Joe Pesci in as the penguin to do that bit in that movie.
Yeah, that's all I could think of was the Joker going off about, you know, I'm not here to fucking amuse you. That's all I could hear is that. It sounds like fun.
I don't even know what to say right now about that. That sounds fantastic. I'm totally on board as well. This is Sounds like we got some good writing going on right here. We need to pitch this to Scorsese and Phillips and see what we can get in there. But anyways, so more DCEU going on. Obviously, we're going to see tons and tons and tons of Marvel and DC movies pop up over the next few years. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't start seeing some Marvel standalones too, or loosely tied ins. I feel like Captain Marvel is probably going to be a little less tied in. I know it's part of the line of a universe, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's not as deep as a tie-in. And I feel like Doctor Strange is one of those ones where you could see Doctor Strange without seeing any of the other ones. And even though he's going to be in the Infinity War movie, I feel like if you didn't see Doctor Strange, you're not going to have lost out if you see him in the Infinity War movie. So I feel like even just giving us more of those could be a help.
Yeah, and I think they've done a good job of that. I mean, you've had, Ant-Man, both the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, Doctor Strange, I think, fits in there. So they give you a fair number. Any of the ones that aren't directly Avenger movies, I think or directly tied to the folks that are in the Avengers, kind of have that more standalone feel, which I, like I've talked about, I think I've reached my team-up limit so far already. So I really like it.
There we go. So Joker, anybody fun for that? But I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Some pretty interesting news there. Now, one other thing, we can't talk about it because I don't think Tyler's seen it yet. Game of Thrones.
Oh, the newest episode. Yeah, I haven't seen any of them.
It was a big week. It was a big week. And,
I mean, I have a pretty good idea because just existing in the world, you get.
Oh, no. So I went to a concert on Sunday night, and this is the first episode this season that I had to watch it on Monday instead of Sunday. And I can tell you, I have avoided Facebook like the plague on Monday because I was like, this is not – because every other week, I'm lucky that I've already seen the episode on Sunday because there's at least three or four friends that I'm just like, next time I see you, I'm going to punch you in the face because you just post up on Monday. I don't care. And I'm sure they did this week, and I just avoided it like crazy because I didn't get to watch it till Monday night. Because as I think I've heard some people say this, and it's a good point, this is probably the first – when you look at his overall first disappointing episode of the season, there was a lot of things that happened that were like, kind of made you go, what the hell, guys? Like, really? However, there was a lot of big and exciting stuff that happened. Like, I don't know how Adam's looking at me. Like, he loved the episode. It seems like,
how is it disappointing? Are you kidding me?
It was just so not like we're getting like so far, like, okay, this is just ridiculous. This is ridiculous at this point. I can't talk about some of the details, obviously, because Tyler hasn't seen it, but there's a few things that I was just like, are you freaking kidding me at this point? I'm like, are you serious? All I know is ravens travel incredibly fast and chains are just laying around wherever the hell they may be north of the wall and all kinds of crazy things. Man, people can run fast. Ravens can fly fast. I don't know. Zombies can drown, I guess. I don't know.
And I've seen all that, and I am, there's an easy counter for it that doesn't spoil anything. And is that you're not given any sense of distance or time.
So you have distance, you do, because the map of where Dragonstone is to the wall, you don't know how far north they've traveled of the wall. So that's true.
Right.
So you don't know how far
know the time.
The time, and the director of the episode made a very good point. He released the statement on Monday because he got asked questions about it. And he said, we like to think that, you know, like north of the wall, that it's just constantly twilight. It's constantly like a frozen twilight. So you're never really given time. And when you think certain things happen in that time period that we're talking about, very vaguely. So if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, if we root it for you, I'm sorry. But there's things that happen that you're like, well, for that to have happened, enough time would have had to have gone by. So I'm getting that. I still just feel like they're just doing things now just to do
things. It's also a story with magic and dragons and people coming back from the dead and all sorts of things that everybody has just accepted as, hey, this is the way the world is now. And he's getting caught up on like this little thing, this thing right here. This is the problem for 7 years of what we've been going through. This is the little thing that's causing the first issue to be like, well, that's not how things work. That's not the way the world happens. Come on, people. It's
fair enough.
It's
fair
enough. TV show with magic and dragons and life after, like people coming back from the dead as good people and as bad people. Like,
fair enough.
People, come on.
Fair enough. The one thing and this is might spoil some things, but it's all over the internet, so it's not even. The one thing I am getting tired of though is how much the internet wants Jon Snow and Daenerys to get together, and it's like, come on, guys, like. We found out already that this is probably not a good decision.
My favorite thing I saw was, you know, like one of the, like a conversation thing in season one. Oh my God, I can't believe Jaime and Cersei are having incest. And season eight is like, John, would you just fuck Dany already? God damn it. Like
everybody's gone from going, this is terrible and gross, to rooting for it to happen
right
now. Yeah. I mean, they're not brother sister, you know, so I don't know. We don't know how this world works. Like you said, it's a fantasy TV show, guys. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. So anyways, that one still cracks me up. And there is meme after meme after meme that I see of that too. Like the Daenerys is expecting about 6 to 8 inches of snow, like stuff like that. There's just tons of them and some pretty funny stuff. My favorite thing is if you watch the episodes on Sunday or even if you watch them just weekly, I'm pretty sure it's BuzzFeed who collects like 40 or 50 of the greatest tweets from the episode, each episode.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, some of those are just wonderful. And, I love it. I love the new Olympics one too, with all the winners, including Jaime for his swimming. So, but yeah, if you saw Game of Thrones, of course, obviously don't go to our comments and post spoilers, because we were just complaining about that. And we hope we were vague enough in our statements about it. I don't know. Tyler, did we ruin anything or were we pretty vague?
I mean, you didn't ruin anything because I've already got a pretty good idea of things that have happened just based on.
So anybody who's listening to our, yeah, anybody who's listening to our podcast is on the internet enough that they would have gotten probably as much exposure as you. So what you're saying is we didn't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it, would be listening to this podcast.
We're long past the point where like Game of Thrones spoilers things are not a thing anymore. Like first couple seasons, you could do a pretty decent job. I can't go to like news.google.com without getting like the episode spoiled for me by like a headline. Like I can't.
No, it's not to this level with any other show. We've talked about like, it a couple months ago.
I can avoid, you know, all sorts of websites like that I know are going to talk about it. Like I can stay away from IO9 or I can stay away from, you know, all that kind of stuff, but I can't, you can't, it's impossible. Like we're way past
that. Oh yeah. Cause you get like ABC Entertainment headline is like, here's exactly what happened in Game of Thrones. You're like, no, that's not. I just wanted news. That's all. Because it's from ABC News, their entertainment desk. You're screwed.
Stop putting it in the headline. Just stop that part. That's all I need, really. Then I won't click on it.
So this weekend, Project Nerd and Project Nerd Publishing will be at Colorado Springs Comic Con. So by the time you catch this episode. Maybe you may catch it a few hours before the show starts, because I think Friday is at 3 p.m. start. We do have a fun 3-day show. We had a blast last year. It was a great show. Our friends over at Movie Camp do all the panel hosting and have a great time with that. There's tons of great celebrities. We were talking about it before the show started. Jon Bernthal, Pauly Shore, which is who I'm super stoked for. A couple big wrestlers. I don't know, but people love those guys. So you got a lot of things going on. A number of The Walking Dead as well. But fun convention. Great time last year. Of course, we'll be there with, I always say with all of our comics, but I have to admit, we will be short two titles. We are sold out of Bullet Gal on the list right now. So Colorado Springs, you'll have to wait to get those. We'll have plenty of comics, some great sales. Of course, this is our first convention to have a full stack of Billy with the variant cover by Andrew Tarasov and everything going on with that. Be giving away stickers and bookmarks for that too. But come check us out if you're in the Colorado Springs area. If you're not, if you're in Fort Collins and can't travel down to Colorado Springs, Fort Collins has a Comic-Con going on as well. A little bit smaller, but a local, like, homegrown show that people really get behind. And of course, over in Chicago, where our best bud Gallo is at, you got Wizard World Chicago. We're not big fans of Wizard World. I'll put it on the air. I don't care. But Wizard World Chicago is one of their popular ones. So I know a lot of people heading out to that. And of course, we're just by the time this airs, we're just 1 week away from one of the biggest ones of the year in terms of the people we associate with, Dragon Con. So no Dragon Con for us, but everybody that's going, have fun. Drink a lot for us. Party hard. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. But conventions, yeah, I think this is really where we kind of, I mean, we still got, you know, Rocky Mountain Con at the end of September, Kansas City Comic Con's in November. Obviously, the shows run all year long, but when we say convention season, I think this is where it really starts to come down to a close here after Labor Day weekend, and you start to see things slow down a little bit. But you guys, shows... Since we're talking about conventions, let's look back at our shows this year. What did you guys enjoy the most out of them?
That's like a big question, man. You can't just drop something like that on people and expect them to have directly on top of their head, right? They're like zero lead in, zero warning, no foreknowledge. I mean, the same thing about all of our shows. I really enjoy, since I get to be at the booth a lot, I like that one. Because I don't have to talk in front of large groups of people, which makes me happy. But I like getting to talk to people about what they like about comics, what they like to read, what types of stories connect with them. And so, you know, that's probably my favorite part, you know, getting to meet other creators and, you know, the occasional celebrity is cool, but actually connecting with the folks who are attending the con looking for something, that's probably my favorite part.
I don't know. Getting to see people that we haven't seen in a while is always fun. Trying to think what was, I didn't get to go to as many this year as we have in years past, but Planet Comic Con was fun and Comic Con has always been a real blast lately. So those are probably my big ones.
Yeah. Planet Comic Con's in February, already announced. And then Matt runs a great show at O Comic Con. He's announcing in September. It'll be early July too. Spoilers. Sorry, Matt, but he's let the cat out of the bag a few times, so I'm sure he won't mind. But I think their official announcement's just coming up in the next few weeks as well. But yeah, really early for Planet Comic Con this year. And I'd say I agree. This year was very different for me because last year we had some of our shows with the comics, but we still had so much focus on other things. This year we really put a lot into the comics at the booth. That was the central focus. And coming back to some repeat markets, hearing from people that have read our stuff, that enjoy our books, that was really cool. Really cool to go to Omaha and have somebody come up and buy like three more copies of Blaze because they bought it in Kansas City, read it, and it's about a depressed superhero, so it hit them in a way. And being the writer for that one, you know, that hits, like, that's, I feel really good about shit like that. When people like your stuff, you feel good. I mean, there's no way around it, but... Anyways, getting to talk to people about all this stuff. I mean, these, you know, when I left, it was Denver Comic Con this year when we were walking back to the car and I was with a few of the guys that were helping out and I was just looking around at all the different people that were there and the people in the costumes, the people that you can just tell by looking at them, like very rarely leave their parents' basement, like the, you know, all the different types of people. And I'm like, these are our people. This is who we hang out with. This is our group. This is our crew. These are the people we love. So it's just really cool being surrounded by just people who get so excited about different, not just comics. I mean, you know, movies, television shows, games, video games, board games, all kinds of card games, everything. Just people that are passionate, super passionate about stuff. So that's always cool. And I think we'll see more of that at Colorado Springs Comic Con. Obviously, like I said, this weekend. So come check us out. Table 17. And we're surrounded by cosplay friends. Gregor on Geeks, of course, set up right with us. We got the Project Nerd section going on. Gregor on Geeks got some fantastic cosplayers coming out, including our best pal, Michael Knight, Mage Wilson. Always love hanging with him on a weekend. And then some other great local, more local cosplayers, Kristen Kiltastic. She was announced as a guest as well, and then a few others. But I'm excited. Hang out. I'll put it out there. It's my birthday weekend, so we're going to probably have a little bit of a good time. Going to have a little bit of a good time. Go hang out with Pauly Shore, maybe. We'll see. But, I mean, that would be blast. So, of course, in comic book news, there was one thing I want to talk about, kind of segueing into that. Happening in the Marvel Universe right now, the Punisher is becoming War Machine. So that's pretty exciting. So for those that are reading it, I guess, I don't know, Punisher 218 that's coming out. I don't know if it's this week or next week. But Frank Castle comes into possession of the War Machine armor, formerly, obviously, by Rhodey. So Rhodes was using it. So we'll see what happens there. This is going to be interesting because Rhodey, you know, a little bit more conservative with his gunfire, probably not going to kill as many people. Punisher will mow you the hell down. And now he's got access to a suit like that.
He can kill everybody. Like, holy crap. That's exciting and terrifying. It's, you know, it's like giving a kid a box of fireworks. It's going to be pretty cool, but something bad's probably going to happen too. Like, like, you just guarantee both of those things are going to happen. Like, something awesome's going to happen and something bad's going to happen.
I would read that. Oh, I'll have to look into this.
I like that response. I like it. Perfect. So awesome. Of course, you can always pick up Project Nerd Publishing's comics at pnpublishing.com. We've got our store link. All our titles are available online. You may have to wait, like I said, a little bit for Bullet Gal and the list. And pretty much, we're getting lots of feedback already on Billy. I mean, almost all packages are out. We're ordering some more boxes to get some more in. To get the rest, I think there's like 18 packages left to go out. So for those last 18 people, I'm sorry, I'll throw in a little extra love for you. But great feedback on Billy so far. And we're actually talking about dropping Billy Volume 2 on Kickstarter in October again this year. So keep an eye out on that if you liked Billy Volume 1. Or if you didn't get a chance to check out Billy Volume 1, we'll have plenty of options for you to pick up both Volume 1 and Volume 2 on the Kickstarter, obviously, as we do have a large stack of them available. So we did do a big order on those, but comic books, of course, always exciting with what's going on. And yeah, I'm with Tyler. I would definitely read Punisher getting a hold of some War Machine armor and guns like that. But anyway, so we're getting pretty close to our time here. So I'll start winding us out. I don't know, before we go into final thoughts, I don't know, Tyler, Adam, is there anything, I know you've been playing a lot of Diablo 3, Adam, but anything new in the video game world or anything new in the book world that you guys want to drop in real quick?
I mean, not for the video game stuff, as we kind of talked about last week. We're in that weird period where everybody's kind of like in a slight holding phase towards the end of the summer. It's almost like we're seeing with movies right now, there's not a lot of big stuff coming out. Although it is a great time to get stuff on sale. So if you're looking for an older game that maybe you didn't play that you're interested in, I know if you're a PlayStation Plus member right now, you can get all three BioShock games for $30. So that's a pretty good deal. I mean, there's a lot of good deals out there to get you through this kind of slower period.
If you didn't pick it up, it hasn't had a price drop basically since it came out. Persona 5 is down to $40 now, and it's a blast.
Cool. So exciting there. Let's head on over to our final thoughts. Let's close out our week's episode with what's on our brain, what we want to talk about. No restrictions. We'll start with you, Adam.
For me, it's easy. Board games. I've been playing a lot of board games recently. So if you are into nerdy board games, I've got a couple that you can play if you're competitive by nature. The board game Dominion is a deck building card game where you compete against The base set will give you up to 4 people. You can have add-ons that add up to, you know, 6, 7, 8 people, depending on how much you want to spend and how many cards you want to buy. Really, really fun game. Little bit of subterfuge. The cards are really entertaining. Takes place in a fantasy world, so you want to be kind of okay with that, with those ideals. If you're into more cooperative board games that are still nerdy, the Pathfinder adventure card game, very, very fun. They've got lots of different sets and lots of different adventures that you can get. It's kind of like D&D Lite almost. So Pathfinder was a modification for the third edition of Dungeons & Dragons. And even the folks that made the third edition of Dungeons & Dragons came out and said, yeah, the Pathfinder adjustments were how we should have made the game to begin with. And they've since fixed a lot of those issues with fourth, and certainly the fifth edition right now is fantastic. But it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a D&D light in terms of a card and what type of game it is. So it's, again, fantasy and adventure and stuff like that, and you get to play as a character, and so you have role-playing aspects there. But you're building a deck, you're using still using the full dice arsenal for all of your different checks, whether they're combat or intelligence or dexterity checks, that kind of stuff. So it still kind of hits into that nerd realm, but a little more accessible and a little quicker than running through a full D&D campaign. You can get through an adventure, as they call them in Pathfinder, in anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. If you want to take a, you know, if you're having a lot of conversation, they take a little bit longer, but if you're kind of focused and you got someone who's driving you forward as a DM, they'll move a little bit quicker. So pretty entertaining.
Play it on the nights you're not playing D&D, right? There you go. Awesome. Well, comments there. Tyler, final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, it's kind of in that season where not a ton of books are coming out either. I just finished Yun Ha Lee's Raven Stratagem, which is the second book in Machineries of the Empire, and it was really good. The ending was super solid. I just started The Watchmaker of Filigree Street, which people have recommended to me for a couple years now, and I just started it last night. It's been pretty good. There's a lot of stuff coming, like November. I guess next month, the sixth book, this will be my big recommendation, final thought. The next book in Max Gladstone's Craft Sequence comes out, The Ruin of Angels. It's been a really fun series up to this point. There's 5 books out right now, and all of them are on sale. The Kindle edition for all 5 of them are on sale right now for $2.99 a pop, which is a good deal. You can also buy the first 5 as a Kindle set for $12. And that's five really good books right there. So
I need you to message me that name so I can get them. And also, I don't know if you saw this, popped up in my Amazon list for books. Pierce Brown apparently did a Sons of Ares comic book.
And I've heard of it. I haven't had a chance.
Volume 5. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out either, but I figured I'd throw that out there since we've talked a lot about the Red Rising series. So it takes place in that world. And
that one is only... that's still January, but the first book of the new series comes out in January, so that'll be super exciting. But yeah, read some Max Gladstone for cheap right now on the Amazons.
All right. So games, books, everything there. I don't know. I threw out my final thoughts throughout the episode. I got to talk about what happened to Monday and course, little Game of Thrones stuff. If you want to do yourself a favor this week, though, go online and find the video of the Foo Fighters rickrolling their audience at a concert. Straight up, fantastic. Dave Grohl, as Dave Grohl can do, they brought Rick Astley out and straight rickrolled the audience. So there's definitely video of it out there, and it is being shared like wildfire. So you should be able to find it pretty easy. But it's pretty fun watch. Would have been probably amazing to actually be there and experience it too, just to say you were there. Of course, and then one last thing in comics is if you're following the Watchmen DC stuff, they revealed the covers for the next issues, and the Doomsday Clocks are set to end. So I don't know what that means, but we might have some big things happening there. So if you're following it, be ready. Seems like it'd be exciting. I'll have to check it out when it hits trade. But other than that, that's a wrap for episode 138 of the Nerdcast. Of course, once again, Colorado Springs Comic Con this weekend. Check us out. Last show till Rocky Mountain Con about a month later. Other than that, plenty of exciting geeky things to do. Looks like go pick up Movie Pass, go check out some movies, play some games, read some books, do all the fun geeky stuff that we always encourage you to do week after week. But until next time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week on the Nerdcast.